When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The other rights remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
When the wolf is at your door,
this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that of a sexual nature and should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off of the internet or from some television show. The facts I'm retelling you were presented to me by the victims of the crimes or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My descriptions of the crime scenes, what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're going to get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. And today, we're going to be continuing Why Not 9, and this will be part 2. We'll see how long it runs for. Hopefully, we'll be concluding it today. But when I left you last, I had the husband, John, in the interrogation room, if you will, and was explaining the polygraph process to him, and we're getting ready to make the questions for the test. Also, we had the detectives going to talk to the neighbors. That's very important. And they were getting statements from people at John's work that he, whomever saw him leave that day, right? Because remember, he told me he did not leave on the day of his wife's murder. And we knew that from the foreman that he did leave for a little while around lunchtime. So, back to it, and, you know, so I explained the process to John, and I was like, you know, now let's make up the questions for the test. Now, anytime you do the polygraph, especially on a homicide case, the emotions are going to be high, and so you have to do what is called setting their psychological set. Now, and remember, this is a long process. We're in there for hours, and so I had him locked into a statement that he got up, had his breakfast, gave his wife a kiss while she was still sleeping, and then he went to work and returned and found her body. So I asked him, I said, John, when was the last time that you had sexual relations with your wife? And he's kind of taken aback by it. And I was like, no, I'm just asking because, you know, they did the autopsy on her. And if your semen comes back in her or, you know, which semen will live for 72 hours. He was like, oh, I don't know. It had been a couple of days ago. And I said, so when you gave her that kiss goodbye, I mean, did you touch her in any way? And was he's kind of looking at me. I said, I'm just asking, you know, but my thought process was, y'all, I know they took DNA swabs of her neck area where she was strangled to death, and on her breasts because they were exposed, and, you know, of course, the vagina and stuff like that. And he said, well, I don't know, you know, it had been a couple of days. And I said, well, when you gave her that kiss goodbye, did you touch her? And I'm thinking in my head, if his DNA comes back around her neck, then his goose is cooked, right? But I needed to lock him in saying that he didn't touch her neck. And he said, no, I just gave her a quick kiss and you know, I left and went to work. I said, but did you have sex the night before? Because I'm thinking if the DNA comes back and he can say, oh, well, we had sex the night before and she liked to be choked, right? And he said, no, you know, didn't have sex the night before, just a regular night, went to bed, et cetera. So I got him locked into that. And then on the question, forming the questions, I said, what do you think are important questions for me to ask you? And he said, I guess, did I kill my wife? I said, yeah. I said, but, and we're gonna definitely ask you that. I said, but I'm never going to say kill. I said, because kill is an emotion evoking term. I said, so let's agree that the first relevant question would be, I said, you just gave her a kiss goodbye that day and you didn't put your hands on her or anything like that. He said, no. I said, so if I ask you, on that day, and that day I'm talking about specifically the day that you came home and found your wife murdered. I said, on that day, did you harm your wife? And he said, no, absolutely not. I said, good. So that's a fair question. He said, yeah, that's fair. And then I asked him, I said, well, you know, what else do you think is important? He said, well, that's the main thing, right? I said, yep, you're right. I said, but you'd already told me that you didn't touch her. You've now said that you didn't harm her in any way. And you just told me you gave her a quick kiss. And I said, so is it fair for me to say, ask you, on that day, did you touch your wife in any way other than giving her a kiss goodbye? And it was like, he was thought about it. And it was like, okay. I said, I'll shorten it up for you. I said, on that day, did you touch your wife in any way besides giving her a kiss? And he said, no, I didn't. It's okay. And y'all, it took a lot longer than this. We're going back and forth and everything. But then it just popped in my head. And I was thinking about those blue shorts being pulled down to her thighs and the panties being pulled down. And that the panties and the shorts, you could see the urine in them. But there was none on the floor. And so I asked him, I said, John, what does your wife sleep in? And he said, what do you mean? I said, does she sleep in a nightgown? Does she sleep nude? And he said, no, she has a long t-shirt that she wears. And I said, in underwear? He said, yeah, in panties. And I said, no bra. He said, no. So what time does she usually get up? And he said, probably about, 7:30, 8 o'clock, something like that. And I said, and she stays at home? And he said, yeah, she doesn't work. And I said, okay, so the shorts that she had on, he said, that's, common everyday thing that she wears around the house. I said, all right. So I said, John, let me ask you this. When you left for work, until the time you got back home, did you see your wife? And I'm paraphrasing things. And he said, no. I said, so it's a fair question if I ask you from the time that you left for work to the time you discovered her. Did you see her? He said, well, no, I didn't see her. I was at work. I said, okay, so I'm going to put that question in there. And I think I worded it like, exactly like I said, from the time that you left for work, when you left your house that day till you got home, did you see your wife at any point? And he said, no, and I already told you. I said, I get that. I'm not trying to be combative with you. I'm just asking you pertinent questions, right? I said, if you didn't see her at any time, then certainly you wouldn't have had a chance to kill her. And he said, you're right. So we did that, and I attached him to the instrument and ran a practice or an acquaintance test in which I had him lie to me 1 out of 8 questions. I didn't know which question it was he was lying about, but I told him, at the end of the test, I'm going to tell you what it is that you lied about. And what it is, y'all, I wrote the numbers 1 through 8 on a piece of paper. And I said, I'm going to turn around. I want you to write with your opposite hand that you normally write with. I want you to choose a number and write that number down where I can't see it and fold it up. And then, so I did that, and he wrote his number down. I said, now on this test, I'm going to ask you, regarding what you wrote on that piece of paper, was it the number 1? And I want you to say no. And I said, I'm going to ask you all 8 numbers, and I want you to say no to every number that I ask you, including no to the number that you wrote. I said, now when you say no to the number that you actually wrote, what will you be doing? He said, I'll be lying. I said, great. I said, now, let's do that, right? So I attached him to the instrument and made him sit still, gave him the clear instructions on how to answer, which is say yes or no. Don't say sir or shake your head or anything like that. And so I think he picked number 3, and I did the test. I had him say no to everyone. And when he said no to number 3, those 3 physiological areas I told you about, he had a larger response than the other numbers, right? Because he was lying. And remember, I told you, when you lie, those 3, your autonomic nervous system makes those 3 certain areas respond bigger than normal. So we did that. At the end of the test, I told him, okay, he's still attached to the instrument. I said, now I'm going to call out the numbers, and I want you to tell me what number did you write. And I said, answer truthfully this time. He said, okay. I said, did you write the number 1? He said, no. I said, did you write the number 8? He said, no. I said, did you write the number 2? He said, no. I said, did you write the number 7? He said, no. And I said, did you write the number 6? Remember, I can tell that the physiological responses from his body, that was number 3. So I'm asking every number except for number 3. And I said, did you write the number 5? No. Did you write the number 4? No. And I said, so that leaves us with, he said, the number 3. I said, show me your piece of paper. And he said, well, you got my number. I said, show me the piece of paper. Because sometimes, y'all, people on the practice test, they would lie to you about what number they wrote. It said they would think that you got it wrong. And if you didn't ask to see it, I had actually had this happen to me before. And I was like, damn, I know I didn't get it wrong. Show me the piece of paper, right? And when they showed it to me, and I actually had the number, I knew they were fucking with me. But his eyes went like buckwheat when I said your number was the number 3. Because now he's thinking, holy shit, if he can catch me on this little bitty lie, what's it going to look like if I lie to him about something major? So we go from that into the 3 charts, which is, the test doesn't take that long, y'all. It's probably like 7 questions in total. I had to put some irrelevant questions mixed in and some probable lie questions mixed in with the relevant questions about, him not seeing his wife since he left the house, and did he harm his wife that day and stuff like that. So when you ask the questions about 25 seconds. I ask the question, he responds, and it's 25 seconds, and that's when I'm getting my responses, right? As soon as he starts to respond, I'm monitoring those three areas, and then it comes back down, and at the end of the 25 seconds, I ask the next question. So it only takes like probably 5 minutes for the test, or maybe less than that. So we did the chart the first time, and I hit those relevant questions, especially did you harm your wife that day? He smoked it. I'm talking about the blood flow. He had the adrenaline dump. His muscles shrunk up in his chest and his abdomen, and the sweat just jumped off the charts. I mean, like, big time. It was obvious. I didn't have to score it. I mean, I was scoring it in my head. And I always tell him before the test starts, I said, look, don't pay attention to me. Look straight ahead. Pick out a spot on the wall. Stare at it. Just answer yes or no. Don't shake your head and say yeah, or shake it sideways and say no. And I said, if I do any, get up and make any kind of adjustments or, you know, change anything on you, I said, it's nothing that you've done. It's just me being a perfectionist, right? I said, but don't pay attention to me or any facial expressions I make or anything like that. Don't think I'm, you know, think that you're lying or whatever. Just remember that I'm going to believe you unless when we get done with these charts, I scored and it says otherwise. So anyway, he failed the fuck out of the first test, deception indicated, but you have to do it. You want to do this at least, you have to do it at least two times, but I would always do at least three. That way, if anything got messed up, right? And so you take the break, release the pressure and the cuff on his arm and give him about 20 seconds to sit there. And I said, don't say anything. And we're going to do the questions again. And I would mix up the questions, y'all, for the next time. So they're not in the same order. And I said, test about to begin. Please remain still. Chart two, right? Did it again. He absolutely blew it up, especially to harm his wife that day. Now, same thing. Took a break, did it the third time. And again, he blew up that question. Now, he failed the other ones about not seeing her, et cetera. I said, but, you know, the one that was most important to him, even though the one that was most important to him was did you harm your wife that day, right? And the other ones, he failed those also, but not as strongly as that question. Of course, that's the most important question. So when we get done, I told him, I said, look, I unattached him from the instrument. I said, you need to use the restroom or anything. Take a break. Give me a chance to score it. And so I had the detectives come get him, and they took him to the restroom, but and I sat down and I did put the pen in the paper, and he was way, way, way in the negative on his scores. But I brought one of the detectives back in before they brought him back in. And I said, where are we at on the neighbors and the statement from the people at work? And he said, we got people getting statements from everybody that saw him. And we hadn't got to the neighbors yet, but we're going to. I said, I just have a funny feeling about that. It needs to be done. I said, so I'm going to bring it back in. He failed the test, and now I'm going to start basically to interrogate him, right? And so I brought him back in, sent him down, and said, look, John, I said, there's absolutely I said, how do you think you did on the test? And he was like, well, I think I passed it. And I said, well, you absolutely did not pass it. I said, you have deception indicated. I said, as a matter of fact, you couldn't have failed this test any worse. He was like, I don't understand. I said, well, no, you understand. And he said, no, I passed it. I said, look, I said, if I take a Polaroid camera and I push the button, and I take a picture of you right now, and that little thing slides out and I wave it around and I blow on it till your picture comes in that I just took of you, right? And he said, yes. And I said, if I hand that picture to you and I say, who is that in that picture? And you say, it's not me. I said, man, we both know that I just took the picture, and you know that I got the picture correctly, and it's definitely you. I said, if you told me that wasn't you, that's just as ridiculous as you telling me that you didn't harm your wife that day. And he's shaking his head. He said, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. And kind of a little bit of a fake cry thing. I said, look, John, I said, we got things going on, right? I said, I already know that you lied to me. He's like, what are you talking about? I said, well, you lied on the test, but you also lied when you said that you didn't leave work that day. He's like, no, I didn't. I said, how far of a ride is it? And I already knew y'all, it was only like 4 miles. I said, how far of a ride is it from that fab shop to your house? And he was like, I don't know, 10 minutes, something like that. I said, okay. I said, on that day,
shout out to Astepro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
My allergies are throwing my whole morning off. Do I sound different to you?
I love it. You sound like, it's that time of year though, bro.
I sound different to me. I feel like I'm in a submarine.
Yeah, well, have you tried Astepro? It's faster, bro. Oh. Right? Astepro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astepro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astepro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Hey, I use this. And you should too, Jim. Last weekend, I planted my garden, and it's that time of the year, and my allergies really kicked up with it, right? I use Astepro every time my nasal allergies flare up, and I'm always amazed at how fast I'm back in the game, down on those rows, planting my stuff.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to AstroProAllergy.com for a discount so you can Astepro and go today. AstroProAllergy.com. It's faster, bro. Uses directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Astepro and go.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email, or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. Cool. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house, and when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard, and when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple. And in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
Yeah, you told me you didn't leave your work, that you ate lunch at work. And he said, yeah, I did. And I said, no, you didn't. He said, what are you talking about? I said, look, bro, I'm not a fucking rookie. All right. I said, I already know. I had him talk to the people at your work. The numerous people saw you leave, you know, for just under an hour that day. You left and you came back. And he stopped and he was looking at me. I said, that's right. I have written statements from people that you work with and your foreman that you left. And I said, now, why would you lie to me about that? He was like, I don't think I left. I said, no, motherfucker, you know, oh, that's the most important day of your life. I bet you could tell me every thought you had on that day, that, especially had you been innocent. I said, there's no reason for you to lie about leaving work. I said, now, why did you leave work? He was like, well, if I left work, I probably just went to a store or something and got some cigarettes. And I said, John, you don't insult my fucking intelligence, dude. I said, you know, you lied to me. And what store did you go to get cigarettes at? He was like, oh, I don't know. I said, but it's not like there's a whole bunch of stores around here, John. I said, so tell me what store it is, and I'm going to send those detectives out there, and I'm going to ask them or pull video surveillance and then ask the employee who was working, did you come in and get any cigarettes? I said, so just don't fucking lie to me. Tell me the truth. And he was like, or I said, tell me the name of the store. And so I don't know. I may not have got any cigarettes. And I said, but you did leave work. He said, well, yeah, I probably left work. I said, did you go home? He just got quiet, right? And y'all, I thought he was going to lawyer up. And I said, look, help me help you, bro. I said, I mean, you got to explain what happened. I said, maybe, you know, she called you at work or something. And I said, look, we're going to get your cell phone records too. And that's another thing. And we're going to be able to pin you by at your house at that certain time. I said, I'm going to pin you at the house during that time. And we'll be able to show the route that you took, which is 4 miles away. And, you know, I look, the way it's looking to me is you're some kind of fucking monster. And he was like, what do you mean? I'm not a monster. I said, well, you damn well been lying to me, and you're not telling me any viable excuse. So all I can think is you just went home on your lunch break and murdered your wife, and you're lying about it. I said, now, look, if it was an accident, if maybe y'all been having an argument and you went home to try to calm things out, and maybe she attacked you, and you were in self-defense and, you know, you using your hands, you put your hands around your throat just to keep her off of you. Like if she's trying to scratch you and claw you, and maybe, look, I said, it's easy to break that bone in the neck, you know? And now y'all, if he took that excuse, and I'm trying to give him an out the easy way, trying to get him to change the story again, because if he'd have took that one, he's really fucked. And because what I know and from experience is those panties, shorts and panties were pulled down after she was killed. Right. But I didn't tell him that, but I want him to change his story again, which he already has. Now he said he left work, went to get some cigarettes, but then he can't tell me what store it is. And now I told him about the cell phone records, and we're going to be able to ping him at the house. And look, his brain's in a whole fuck mode, right? His sugar has turned to shit. And it's just now a question of how bad it's going to be. And so
I stay on him, and you know, I was like, was it an accident? You know, were y'all fighting? He was like, no. I said, did you go home? I said, look, it takes a couple of days to get these cell phone records, but they come back, and you've already sat in this room for 5 hours, and you know, you answered a question on the polygraph about not seeing her since you left for work. And I know you're lying about leaving work, and you changed your story on that. Cell phone records are going to come back. And I said, guess what else, John? You're making me think that you're a monster, bro. And because accidents happen every day. If it's self-defense, it's self-defense. You know, I said, but you saying that you didn't go home and see your wife that day, I said, you're full of fucking shit. And I said, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. I don't think you're a bad guy. You know, I believe probably something happened. Like I said, you know, y'all been arguing, and, or maybe you went home and you found her with somebody else and you just lost your shit. But you didn't intend to kill her. I mean, that's your wife. Y'all been together for several years, and he's got his head down. He actually shook his head in an affirmative. Head down in his hands, and he kind of shook his head up and down while they were in hands. And so I reached out and I grabbed his hand. I said, hey, bro, I'm not in a good way, y'all. I didn't grab him hard. I'm like, hey, look at me, John. Look at me. And I said, let me help you. Tell me what happened. And he kind of looked up at me. I said, tell me what happened. Was it an accident? And he said, I want a lawyer. And I said, okay, I got your ass now, motherfucker. I said, hey, totally cool, John. Totally cool with me. I said, look, we are fucking done. And he said, well, am I under arrest? I said, no, not yet. I said, we're not going to, I mean, your wife, if I hurry up and arrest you or have them arrest you, it's not going to make your wife less dead. I said, and murder never goes away. The charge for murder. I said, don't say anything else to me. I said, but I got a few final choice words for you. And he's looking at me. I said, you want a lawyer? Do not say anything to me. I'm on the record. This is being recorded, but this is what's about to go down. I said, we're going to get the cell phone records, right? I said, you're going to be fucked more on that. But does that prove just the fact that you went home prove that you killed your wife and you're lying about it? I said, no, but guess what? We're going to do a whole lot more than that. I said, what do you think happened at the autopsy? I said, but don't answer that now because you asked for a lawyer. I said, I'm going to tell you what happened. They swabbed her neck for DNA. And your DNA, when you choked her to death, your DNA is going to be all around her neck. I said, now you can't explain that one away, but that's not all we're going to do. I said, the shorts being pulled down, you tried to make it look like a rape. Like somebody came in, stranger danger, raped her, choked her to death, and raped her. I said, the problem with that is, John, there's no urine on the floor, and her shorts and her panties were soaked through. And when you die, you release your bodily functions like that. I said, you pull down those shorts because you panicked. And, you know, I said, but guess what? We're going to get we're going to get your DNA on those shorts also, and from her neck and from her shirt where you pushed it up. He's like shaking his head. I said, look, you're fucked. You're right to a lawyer. You got it. I said, I gave you a chance to confess. And guess what, John? This isn't my case. When I walk out this door, I'm never going to think about you again. You know, and except maybe, you know, they're going to call me and tell me what happened. But the DNA, it takes a minute to come back. So, I mean, you're fucked. You're done. Have a nice life. And the detectives came in the room, and they were like, he was like, I'm free to go. And they were like, yeah, you can leave. All right. So he hauls ass, or one of them brought him back home, whatever. And we meet after that. And I said, we got to go talk to the neighbors. And they were like, Woody, it's, you know, they can't see the house. I said, I know, bro. I saw the house. I said, but you're going to get the DNA back off the neck. And if the shorts, I know they're in evidence. If they If they didn't test them for DNA, you need to get those motherfuckers out and have them retested and have them submitted. I said, he did this. And no doubt in my mind that he did it for whatever reason. And no doubt in my mind that the DNA is going to come back from her neck. And now the shorts, if they didn't test them, have them retested and submit to the lab. I said, it's going to take a minute, right? And remember I told y'all back then, even if you put a rush on the DNA, it didn't come back in days. Most of the time would take months. I said, but talk to the neighbors, get the cell phone records and, ping them all the way there, ping them off the tower close to the house, get the experts on that. And talk to the neighbors. You got the statements from everybody at work. I said, you need to talk to whoever her best friend is and see if they've been fighting. Talk to anyone that you can, right? And get all your evidence together. From when that DNA comes back, that's more than enough probable cause. And it's going to be beyond a reasonable doubt. And the DA should have an easy slam dunk conviction because he has no excuse. Why he lied, he'll have no excuse. Why his DNA is around her throat, and he'll have no excuse why his DNA was on her shorts. And that's it, right? And so I leave, y'all, and I'm done. I drive back, and not my case, not my jam. I drive back, and I think it was the next day, maybe 2 days later, they called me back, the detectives called me back. He said, what do you, you're not going to believe this. I said, what? He said, those neighbors that he has, and we talked to him, and he said, there's one old man that was actually cutting his grass on his riding lawnmower by his ditch, by the highway, and he saw John's truck haul ass come in. He said, I don't know why he's driving so fast. And he turned into the driveway. He said, I didn't really think anything about it because he couldn't see that after he turned in the driveway. He said, well, I just thought he was driving fast. And he said, but I was still cutting the grass about 15 minutes later, and he hauling ass back down the road. And I thought, it was kind of inappropriate for him. One of the other neighbors has kids and we all got dogs, and said, I'm probably was going to say something to him about it. He said, but I really didn't think anything about it. And till later, after I found out she was murdered. But he said, I still didn't think, that John had done it. And I just remember that he in the middle of, well, he said, actually it was around 11 o'clock in the morning. And that he came in hauling ass in fast, and then he hauled ass out again back towards the direction of his work. I said, well, there you fucking go. And then they called me back like the next week or so and confirmed that his cell phone had pinged from the work to there and then back to his work. And so they had the time frame, which fit within the time frame of the coroner, 6 to 10 hours, it would have been on the lower end, the 6 hour end. And ultimately, the months, I don't know, a month and a half, 2 months later, they arrested him for the murder of his wife because the DNA came back on her neck and on her shorts. They took it to a grand jury. They got a true bill of indictment for murder and charged him. And y'all, I think he ended up like 7 months later. He had a lawyer and everything, and he ended up copping to. He ended up giving a statement saying it was an accident, that they had gotten a fight and he accidentally choked her out. Basically, everything that I told him as an out, and he took a plea for however many years. I think they dropped it down to like manslaughter, and he got the maximum 20 or whatever it was. So, I'm not saying this dude is the one that was killing all the other ones in the area that over the past 4 or 5 years, whatever it was, that area wasn't this far from that house's geographical location. But the one of the documentaries came out on those killings and how there hadn't been any more killings. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, you know, it's kind of coincidence. I don't really believe in those, especially in a homicide investigation. But usually if you have a serial killer and they got multiple bodies on them, they're going to continue to kill. And if they stop killing, they're either dead themselves, meaning the serial killer has gotten killed or died from natural causes or whatever, or guess what? They're locked the fuck up. And so I'm not saying this dude was a dude, but certainly fits the timeline, certainly fits the, I can't say it fits the MO, because the other ones that were killed were, this proven, most of them were involved in narcotics and stuff like that. But who's to say that John didn't come home, kill his wife, and wasn't planning on waiting till later on that night after he got home? Unless he just figured he couldn't get away with it. I mean, he may have been going to dump her body too, right? But I don't know that for sure. Speculation on my part, surely. But I can tell you this. There were 8 women dead in the area before. Why not 9? Because the person's responsible either got locked up or they died. Just marinate on that one for a second, right? Serial killers don't stop, right? And I'm going to conclude this story for today. Why not 9? It's just one I was thinking about, and because of something I saw the other day, it reminded me of it, et cetera. But the Real Life, Real Crime, y'all, thank you so much. Patreon members, convicts, Apple subscribers, thank you. And your bonus will be put up before April 1, this month's bonus episode. And y'all go download the Real Life, Real Crime community app from the App Store. It's free. And it has our merchandise in there and group forums and group chats and all the episodes and the hotlines, just everything RRC on steroids, right? And I go there every day and I answer it first before I answer any other social media. But I love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. And by the time you hear this, I would have already been the guest speaker in Bossier for Louisiana Probation and Parole Association and a guest judge and a cook-off and stuff like that. So I'll be on the road this week. But thank you for listening. Next week you'll get another old school story. And LOPA, Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency. Be a hero. Sign up to be an organ donor, y'all. The chances that your organs are ever going to get used are so slim. But there are people dying every day waiting on organ transplants, right? And it's easy peasy. You don't have to be from the state of Louisiana. It's a nonprofit. It's the Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency, right? But you don't have to be from the state of Louisiana to sign up to be an organ donor. Go to LOPA.org. Go take 2 minutes, fill out the organ donor part. They'll get you signed up to be an organ donor, and you don't have to be from Louisiana. You can be a lifer from, you can be a lifer from Washington State, and you won't become an organ donor. Easy peasy. Go online, LOPA.org, fill it out, and be a hero. And I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on murder. Bye. Peace.
Yeah, the right to remain silent. Any anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
When the wolf is at your door, you're running's over, that's for sure.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.